We must continually love our wives. Men, just on a practical level, are you cultivating that relationship with your wife? Are you cultivating love? Are you still dating your wife? Are you still romancing her? Are you still pursuing her? Are you loving her continually?
Bookstores have shelves lined with books related to marital advice. But there is no other book other than the Bible that comes to us with complete advice, and satisfactory advice nonetheless. And part of that advice can be found here in Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 through 21, as the Apostle Paul addresses marriage from a biblical, godly perspective. Welcome to Growing in Grace with Pastor Steve Ballantyne from San Gabriel Community Church. Join us in Colossians 3, verses 18 through 21 in a gospel-centered relationship study. With today's broadcast, once again, here's Pastor Steve.
My dad, I remember telling me a story when I was really young. I remember this. Back predating DVRs, I think it was ABC that went up against Monday Night Football. It may have been NBC. I can't remember the networks. And they decided, what are we going to do to compete with Monday Night Football? And you know what they did? They tried to ruin marriages across the country. Does anybody remember what they put up against Monday Night Football in the early 1970s, mid-1970s? Little House on the Prairie. And there were articles written about, I mean, homes where you couldn't record one and watch the other. Homes had one television, and it was like knockdown, drag out. Do we watch Little House on the Prairie or Monday Night Football? Marriages were breaking up over this issue, forcing the networks to make a change. Literally, this is what happened. We're called to something bigger here. We're called to sacrifice for our wives. We're called to give up of ourselves. And it's not about Monday Night Football, and it's not about poker night, and it's not about game night. It's not about those things. It might be for you, but it's about dying to ourselves every day for the sake of someone else. Our love for our wives should be sacrificial. Second, our love for our wives should be continual. The command he gives here is a present act. It's a continuing command. You could word it this way more accurately. Keep on loving your wives. Don't stop loving your wives. But how often is that the case? There's all this love before marriage, and then marriage happens, and all that love seems to drain away. And what comes in its place so often is bitterness, and that's exactly where he's going to go in the second half of this verse. It's so easy for bitterness and resentment that leads to harshness to replace love. He says, keep on loving your wives. You love them before you married them. You love them when you married them. You love them for a while after you married them. Keep on loving them. Don't stop making that choice every day to sacrifice for them. Press on in this. I may have shared this with some of you. I ran across this years ago. It's a fictitious letter written by a woman to tech support, dear tech support. This year I upgraded from boyfriend 5.0 to husband 1.0. I noticed a distinct slowdown in overall system performance, particularly in the flower and jewelry applications, which operated flawlessly under boyfriend 5.0. In addition, husband 1.0 uninstalled many other valuable programs, such as romance 9.5 and personal attention 6.5, and then installed undesirable programs such as NBA 5.0, NFL 3.0, and golf clubs 4.1. Conversation 8.0 no longer runs, and house cleaning 2.6 simply crashes the system. Please note that I've tried running nagging 5.3 to fix these problems, but to no avail. What can I do? Sign, desperate. Tech support replies, dear desperate. First, keep in mind, boyfriend 5.0 is an entertainment package, while husband 1.0 is an operating system. Please enter command, I thought you loved me, and try to download Tears 6.2, and do not forget to install the Guilt 3.0 update. If that application works as designed, husband 1.0 should then automatically run the application Jewelry 2.0 and Flowers 3.5. However, remember, overuse of the above application can cause husband 1.0 to default to Grumpy Silence 2.5, Happy Hour 7.0, and Beer 6.1. Please note, Beer 6.1 is a very bad program that will download other undesirable programs. Whatever you do, do not, under any circumstances, please forgive me, mother-in-laws, do not, under any circumstance, install mother-in-law 1.0. It runs a virus in the background that will eventually seize control of all your system resources. In addition, please do not attempt to reinstall the Boyfriend 5.0 program. These are unsupported applications and will crash Husband 1.0. In summary, Husband 1.0 is a great program, but it does have limited memory and cannot learn new applications quickly. You might consider buying an additional software to improve memory and performance. We recommend Cooking 3.0 and other things I won't share in front of the children. Good luck, tech support. Now, that's humorous, but it's real. Too often, it's real. Too often, that really is the plight of our wives. And they're told, listen, the only path you have to regain the joy you had when you were dating is to pursue things like guilt. Guilt him into it. Manipulate him into loving you. Manipulate him into romancing you. Guilt him into being that guy that you thought you were marrying. That's not a biblical path. It's not a position we should place our wives in. We must continually love our wives. Men, just on a practical level, are you cultivating that relationship with your wife? Are you cultivating love? Are you still dating your wife? Are you still romancing her? Are you still pursuing her? Are you loving her continually? It's not to stop once the vows are proclaimed. You say, well, I'm not creative. Well, Paul didn't have the internet. My goodness, just Google creative dates and just start going down the list. You say, I don't have the money. Google cheap creative dates. And you will have a list of things you can do for free in Los Angeles. We need to continually love our lives. We love them sacrificially. Paul says to love them continually. Thirdly, he says, love them exclusively. Husbands, love, what's the next word? Your wives. That's a simple, straightforward word, but one that must not be missed. It speaks to the exclusive nature of these commands and to the relationship of marriage. You must love your wife and don't love anyone else's. Husbands, love your wives. Many of us sat here yesterday and witnessed vows exchanged between Stephen and Becca. And part of those vows that are made, part of the vows that you made to your spouse if you're married, contains something to this effect, that I will love this person exclusively, forsaking all others and keeping myself only to her as long as we both shall live. You made that covenant before your family, before your friends, and before your God. Our wives are not to share us with anyone, hear this, real or imagined. Our wives are not to share us with a coworker. Our wives are not to share us with a client. Our wives are not to share us with the internet. It doesn't have to be a real person for us to forsake our vows and for us to forsake our wives. Many of us probably have to renew the commitment Job made in Job 31, that I will make a covenant with my eyes and I will not look upon another woman. We are to be monogamous, not just in our body, but in our minds as well. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, completely devoted to our wives. I think sometimes we're like the Pharisee. Do you remember the Pharisee who's praying and he's looking at the sinner? What does he say? Oh, Lord, thank you for not making me like that man. How easy is it for us, I think, men in marriage to think in regard to our wives, hey, you should see Joe at work. Just be glad you didn't marry him. At least I don't do those things. And we walk around and there's always someone worse for us that we can find and think, our wives should be grateful for me. Sure, I don't do much around here, but at least I'm not him. How easy it is to do that instead just to live up to the standard that God so clearly lays out for us. We are to love them sacrificially. We're to love them continually. We're to love them exclusively, and we're to love them gently. This is the second half of the verse. Do not be harsh with them. It's the negative side of the positive command. Love them and do not be harsh with them. It helps define the love that he's speaking of. Again, the command is in the present tense. This is the continual ongoing characteristic of a husband, to be gentle and not harsh with his wife. To be loving toward her and not embittered is the word toward her. And how often and how acute this observation is by the apostle that so often bitterness replaces love. Look what I can't do now because of her. Look what she keeps me from. All the fun I used to have and all the things I used to be able to do. And it leads to harsh speech and harsh treatment. Instead, we're to be what he's called us in the previous paragraph, to be forgiving one another. We're to be forbearing with one another. In Paul's words, we're to be tenderhearted and compassionate toward one another. Men, do not exasperate your wives. Men, do not be resentful toward your wife. How many men I've sat across from in my office at a coffee shop who've expressed some sense of this, I just feel stuck in this marriage. I feel stuck. I feel trapped. They've become embittered because they stopped choosing to love. And they want to place it on their wives, but men, it is on us. This rules out tyrannical, overbearing behavior. This rules out the path of bitterness. We have to love even when we think the circumstances justify bitterness. We have to love even when the circumstances do justify bitterness. And everyone would look and say, you have a right to be bitter. Look at that woman. God says, love anyway. You love continuously. You love unconditionally. You say, well, how can I love her? She doesn't fill in the blank. How can I love her this way? She doesn't do this. She doesn't do that. She doesn't submit. There's no condition here. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. And this is why it's so important to put this in the context of the gospel. We're reminded that there is no treatment that they can do to us, that a husband can receive from his wife that is more harsh, that is more evil, that is more unloving than the treatment we gave to Christ. And yet he gave himself up for us. Now, husbands, love your wife in that way. Husbands, love your wives. Do not be harsh with them, but be gentle with them. This is how we're required to love. Not bitterness that develops into harshness. It's often grounded, by the way, in unrealistic expectations we place on our wives. Expectations that aren't established by Scripture, but established in our own minds. And so we have to ask ourselves this morning, am I gentle with my wife? Is there bitterness? Are there roots of bitterness with my spouse that I need to root out, that I need to confess? I need to choose to love. Usually I would say to you men, by the way, that it's just a failure on our own part to lead when we start feeling those issues of bitterness. Well, how do we do this? I'm going to be more specific maybe in my application than I sometimes am, partly because as men, we're just a little bit thick-headed. So I need to be specific, all right? Every woman is different, so I'm not going to pretend to speak for every woman. I'm going to speak in general terms about some things I believe that your wife desires, that you can give her as a way of showing her that you love her, okay? Your wife desires, I don't know a better word for this, your wife desires to connect with you in a way that you probably don't understand. She desires relationship with you in a way that's going to seem foreign to you as a man. But she desires it and she wants it. In biblical terms, she desires you to cleave. Right? The Bible calls us in Genesis, men, you're to leave your families and cleave to your wife. And that's a picture of holding fast and near and close. And your wife desires a closeness to you. At the end of a long day, you come home. You have been dealing with people all day. You have been dealing with problems all day. You just want to get to the couch, for goodness sake. You want to blow your wife away? Ask her some questions about her day. Ask her how she is. Ask her how her day was. Connect with her. Have conversation with her. Do you know what ESPN has done for you? They play the same Sports Center over and over again for like 12 hours. You can catch it later. Connect first with your wife. She wants to know that she's a priority in your life. This is going to be a really hard one. Your wife wants you to talk. Did you know that? Am I right, women, or no? She would like you to talk a little bit. How was your day? I don't want to talk about it. Well, I'd like you to talk about it. After you've connected with her day, tell her about yours. And not just about the crisis. Not just about ways in which you were a hero that day. Just talk about your day. Talk about meetings. Talk about conversations. Talk about the simple things. Talk about the normal things. The everyday things. I remember when Christy and I were dating, and we were, for a period of time, we were long distance. And when you're long distance, one of the dangers is that you only talk about the crisis that come up. And I can't remember the way the conversation started. I think it was Christy writing me a letter saying, I'd really like to hear about the things like you lost a bristle in your toothbrush this morning. I want to hear about the mundane things. I want to hear about your day. I want you to talk to me. Not in a memo, not in a text. Don't tell her to go look at your Facebook account, okay? Talk to her. Your wife wants you to listen. To listen. Now, here's what men hear. The wife starts to talk about her day. Let me tell you what happened today. And in the course of that, she starts to tell you something that went wrong. You know what every man in this audience hears when our wives start to tell us about something that went wrong? Oh, she wants me to fix it. Wives, do you want us to fix it? No. Now, this one took me a while to realize, oh, she's not. I remember it was our first year of marriage. Christy comes home. We're sitting on the couch at the end of the day. She was driving out to Santa Clarita to teach. We were driving to Arcadia to work in ministry. She was doing some other things on the side. It was just crazy. It was busy. I was in seminary. It was just nuts. And we sit on the couch, and she just starts telling me, like, I just feel like it's overwhelming, like driving back and forth and our time. And so what did I do? She wanted me to listen. I thought she wanted me to fix it. I'm like, you know what? I think maybe you need a better calendaring system. Turns out that's not what she was asking for. The rest of that evening did not go so well. But we want to fix it. And they just want to talk. They just want to listen. And then sometimes in the course of listening, they're processing. And they do like a whole thing. Like they're talking out loud and then they just keep talking. You just keep your mouth shut. And all of a sudden, they solve their own problem. And you're like, wow, you just did like a whole thing there. And you do. You don't want me to fix it? No, I don't want you to fix it. I just want you to listen. I just want you to listen. I want you to recognize that I'm processing things and I'm feeling about these things and just to listen. I can't tell you what a gift that would be to your wives. There's many more things that we certainly could cover. There's some examples for us of what we can do to love our wives. One of the more convicting questions I asked of my own heart this week and I expressed to you is this. If, in fact, marriage is intended to be a picture of the gospel, husbands, if the only gospel your kids ever saw was the way you treated your wife, what would they think of Christ? If the only thing they knew about God's love was the love you show your wife, what would they think of God's love? I'm starting to understand and walking through this. I think for the first time, I'm not sure why it's just struck me that over the years, and maybe you're one of these people that's experienced this, I hear a testimony that says, I just could not come to God because of my dad. Maybe you felt that. You had an unloving dad. You had a dad that just had no concern for, and you thought, if that's what a father is, I want nothing to do with a heavenly father. Well, the reason for that is because that's what God's designed the family to be. Is a picture of who God is. And that's a thing that has to be overcome. Husbands, what would your kids know of the gospel if all they had was the way you treated your wife? Last night at dinner, Greg Parsons was sharing with me a story that was shared with him by Thomas Wong, who was a missionary. And it was talking about this missionary family had moved to another country, and outsiders were coming into their home and just part of the everyday service, part of life, just involved in translation work and their missionary work being assistance to them. And at the end of a course of time, this person comes to know the Lord, and being asked why, they said, because of the way that man treats his wife. I want to be part of this. That is what the marriage is intended to be, a picture of Christ loving the church and the church's response to her Savior. Ask yourself this question, another question I asked myself this week. Am I the husband I would want my daughter to marry? Am I the kind of man I want my daughter to marry? I say to you sons, both young and old, you who are not yet married, but you sons that are still at home, to be this kind of a man. And I think you have an incredible opportunity with your sisters. I know they annoy you sometimes. I had two little sisters. I love them now, but let me tell you. But sons, and listen to this, you younger ones that are home. There'll be a time in your life when maybe that sister of yours is dating some guy and you think, no way. And I think you have responsibility in this as young men to treat your sisters in such a way that they would never tolerate anything less from another guy. To treat them with such kindness and such respect and such love that when they start dating, they'll say, I'm not going to settle for anything less. My brother treats me better than that. And you claim to love me. What a ministry you can have in practicing being this kind of a man in your home. There's much more we could say, and we can spend time on this in another setting. But to ask ourselves this, men, are we loving our wives sacrificially? Are we loving our wives consistently, continually? Are we loving them exclusively? Are we loving them gently? And if we think we're man enough, maybe sometime this week we'll sit across the table from our wives and say, how do you think I'm doing, honey? Let me have it. I won't be defensive. I won't argue. I'll absorb it. I'll pray about it, but let me have it. How am I doing in these areas? And ladies, be gentle. We're not as strong as we think. So let's pray together and then sing again of that love that is the model for us, the love that God has shown for us in Christ. Father, we need godly men. We need godly husbands. I pray for the men in this room. I pray that we would be men who love our wives, that we look continually to the gospel, we look continually to the cross, and that we are men who sacrifice, that we give of ourselves. Father, there may be some in this room, no doubt there are some in this room, that need to confess this morning that they haven't had a physical affair, they haven't had a physical relationship, but they have not been monogamous in their minds and in their thoughts. Father, may they find repentance this morning and forgiveness and renew the covenant that they need to make with their eyes to not look at another woman. Father, help us to cultivate relationships that are full of love, biblical love, that you might be pleased. And Father, that our kids, when they see our relationships, would have a glimpse of the glory of the gospel. I pray for our sons and for our daughters, that you would be even preparing now the right man and the right woman for them, that they would be pursuing becoming the right man and becoming the right woman who esteems the right things and looks for the right things and values the right things and will not settle or tolerate anything less. Father, we thank you that in our weakness and in our failings in these things, you give grace. May we as married couples extend grace to one another as we learn to apply these things. May we extend the grace that we receive and extend the mercy we receive from Jesus. In whose name we pray. Amen.
The ministry of San Gabriel Community Church. This is Growing in Grace with Pastor Steve Ballantyne. Thank you for taking a few moments out of your time to join us here on the program today. We trust you've been encouraged as we've gone through God's Word for the purpose of glorifying Christ and edifying the believer, challenging the unbeliever. Questions, comments about our broadcast, we'd love to hear from you. A great place to start would be our website, growingingraceradio.org, a very simple website. We've got our past services available there to listen to again at your convenience, as well as a blog by Pastor Steve and a link to the church, San Gabriel Community Church, if you'd like to know more. Again, that's growingingraceradio.org. A lot of information there. Stop by, pay us a visit, drop us an email. Let us know you did. If you have other questions, prayer requests, maybe you'd like to know something else, we have our phone line always available for your use at 626-656-1000. That's 626-656-1000. Sunday services at San Gabriel Community Church, 9 a.m. with Sunday school at 10:45, and we also live stream. All of the information and directions can be found again at our website, growingingraceradio.org. Make sure you follow the links, and we'll get you all the information you need. And then come back and join us next week as our studies continue here on Growing in Grace with Pastor Steve Ballantyne. Growing in Grace is the ministry of San Gabriel Community Church.